This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 6th of March, 2018. You can tell I'm a little bit excited. My name's Patrick Smith. What on earth are we going to talk about? Oh, yes. Your Belfast Giants are the Elite League Challenge Cup champions of 2018 after a magnificent victory in Ice Arena Wales over the Cardiff Devils. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Very well, Patrick.
And Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm okay now. I made the sort of died yesterday for quite a while, but my throat, I'll try and do my best to bottom way through this, but it was an absolutely fantastic weekend.
You can hear the croak in your voice. Let's get stuck in, boys. The Belfast Giants were up against it, not just with the fact that the game was in Ice Arena Wales, not just with the fact that the travel disruption, not just with the fact that it was against the league champions, but it was also a championship game. But on the wings of a tail army, they went to war together and they were able to slay the dragon.
It is the reigning Challenge Cup champions, the reigning Elite League champions, and the team on the verge of securing their second title in 2 years, the Cardiff Devils, against the Belfast Giants, a team who are looking to put the exclamation mark. A mark on their new era, with their new coach, with their new identity. It is the two best teams in the Elite League, head-to-head, in the first showpiece final of the Elite League season. Apart from either competitor, there is Bentivoglio now, comes over the blue line, and Kurt or Mason this time, can't get his right out in front, it's there! First blood to the Cardiff Devils, and it's Lane Ulmer! That leaves Benedict with his own skating lane to come into. Benedict across, and it's there! It goes right through bounds! And the Giants, who have started this second period so well, tie it up, it's one apiece! Fournier shoots and scores! They retake the lead! Straight away, it's Fournier on the power play. Tried to find Redick, who was coming in late in camp, but it's fallen. What a save by Whistle. What another save by Whistle. There's about three saves in there from Jackson Whistle. Eases it down to Saviano with a chance back to it. It's there. It's another equaliser for the Giants. It's there! It's gone straight through from Furland. There's going to be a review. My kick, O'Hallas has gone to the phone. He's going to have a look at it, but for now, it looks like Furland has put the Giants in the lead.
They're asking about Kurtz being in the crease. I just thought he did a great job beating out Redick to the front of the net. Really engrossing game. Great game. Oh, here we go at the bench. We got
now Rutherford more. And Bentivoglio. Bounds has taken real exception to the hit on him earlier on. Myers is trying to shepherd him away from it, and Bentivoglio wasn't going to allow his goalie to take that battle on.
The Belfast Giants are under the skin of the Cardiff Devils.
Shot comes in, it's there! Tipped in front from Matt Toe! Oh, it's turned over for Murphy, and it's there! Darcy Murphy gives the Giants a three-goal lead!
It's do or die for the Cardiff Devils.
Fournier shoots, it's right out in front, it's there! Morissette bats it home! Is there life in this game yet? Saviano, what a stop by Hotham! Again, the Giants have a chance! And this time, they make no mistake! And they restore their three-goal lead! But it's academic now! Time ticks down, and there it is! The official confirmation that Adam Keith and his Belfast Giants team are the 2018 Challenge Cup champions. The player Riley, the captain of the Belfast Giants, He takes his photo, and then he officially marks the start of the Keith era with success. The Belfast Giants were imperious tonight, and they are the Challenge Cup champions of 2018. A Blair Riley goes to share it with his excellent set of fans.
What a weekend. Right, we'll start off. Actually, just say there was supposed to be a game on Saturday night, as you know, against the Milton Keynes Lightning. That was postponed due to the fact that the Milton Keynes Lightning could not travel from, I think they were flying out of Birmingham. Anyway, their flight got cancelled. The game has been postponed. We don't have details as to when that game's going to be, but when we do get it, we'll bring it to you. So we will fire straight ahead to Sunday night's action against the Cardiff Devils in Ice Arena, Wales, where the Belfast Giants skated out with the trophy 6-3. The goal scorers, well, the first goal was scored by Liam Ulmer in the first period after under three minutes, but into the second period, and Brandon Benedict goes coast to coast, picks up the puck from behind his own goal line and goes all the way into the zone and fires it past Ben Bounds to level the scoring. The Cardiff Devils go ahead again through Gleeson Fournier on a power play before John Kurtz on a pass from Steve Salviano puts the Giants level again, and then Jonathan Ferland with a fantastic finish puts the Giants ahead into the third period. Matt Toe, who we'll hear from later in the show, gets what would be the game-winning goal before Darcy Murphy, unassisted, scores another. Jake Morissette gives the hometown hope on the power play, but Jonathan Ferland, who seems to score a lot of empty netters these days, seals the win and brings the trophy home for the Belfast Giants. In nets, Ben Bounds, 24 shots, 19 saves. Jackson Whistle, 30 shots, 27 saves. And your referees on the night were Michael Hicks and Pavel Hallis. Mr. McGimsey, 7 days ago, we had a tough game in Ice Arena, Wales. You can say all you want about this being the Belfast Giants being set up as the home team in this game. It was not a home game. It was a very difficult position for the Giants to go into. And having looked at what we had 7 days ago, the Giants pulled it out of the bag.
It certainly wasn't a home game. I think we talked on our own little WhatsApp group the other day about, home dressing room, home advantage of the crowd. What was it, Simon said, 9-1. I think there was 3,000 and about 300 of them Giants fans who made themselves heard. Fantastic. But, home TV show, home anthem, all those things to get a crowd buzzing, and their little video, which bizarrely had a dig at the Steelers. But
let's talk about that briefly, mate, that introduction video, because obviously it's been talked about. Sorry to interrupt you there, but it's obviously been talked about quite a bit since then. And for those that haven't seen it yet, I'm not sure if Paul Sullivan will put it online, but a lot of people have been talking about how it started off by saying the champions have various, traits. They keep their cool. They have dignity. They show respect. But ironically, haven't said that they show respect. It ends with the line, "We slay tonight. We slay Giants." Your thoughts?
Did they play the Giants little video beforehand, or was it just the Devils?
Yes, they played the Giants normal entrance video. Okay.
Yes, they did.
Just bizarre, and it probably had the opposite. Well, it probably didn't have a massive effect, but there's probably a few players took it under their notice and decided, that's going to give me a little extra kick, but. It's just one of those things. I thought the Giants should have been second on the ice as the home team, but it was just all set up. It was a home venue, home fixture, and fortunately for us, we've managed to kick out there. And let Simon talk more about the video.
Go on, Simon.
They did play the Giants video, the one that's played every game at the SSE Arena, and then they played this unique video for the Cardiff Devils and. That's certainly, if that fires up your team to push on and win a championship, which obviously didn't because it backfired on them. But, they were supposed to be the first team out. I mean, I had to believe it was changed right at the last minute and the Giants were basically out first. And that's the bit that for me, as a player, if I was on the ice and I seen that video and that team or whoever was made the video was basically having a go at me and my teammates, it's definitely put a wee bit more fire in my belly. Not that we needed it because, I know what we went through last week to get to the point of is the game going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Are the flights going to be cancelled? I know exactly what the players have been through to get to Cardiff on Sunday. But I thought the video itself was, you know, yes, you know, the Cardiff Devils, we know how good a team they are, but I thought it was arrogant. I genuinely thought it was arrogant. I thought some of the quotes that they made in the video itself were disrespectful, to be honest. And it also
showed the incident last season with Derek Walser skating around in the anthems, saying, you know, champions show respect, and then having a dig at him. It just seemed... It's like Paul does some great work for the Cardiff Devils. Does some great videos, and you know, he always uses that clip of Andrew Lord looking moody on the blue line before a game. But just if you go through some of his videos, it's always in there. It was in this one within about 3 seconds. But he does some fantastic work. But this, I think, was just a little bit beyond the pale for me. Now, maybe if they had won the game, it would have been taken differently. But this was just a little bit beyond.
Yeah, I agree, Paddy. And again, you know, Sully's a good lad, and as I say, he's done some great videos for them. You know, we could have went out and done something similar, but we're not like that. You know, we basically did exactly what we were going to do. We put the bits and pieces together. We did a motivational video for the fans. Mark Morrison put something together.
Belfast.
Belfast. And, you know, he put that together for... the fans leading up to that event, you know. So it's one of those things where, as I say, I'm glad it didn't work out in their favour. But if they had won it, then yeah, they could have said, you know, that fired us up and that did this and that did that. But it obviously didn't. And, you know, to come out the other end of it and be there when the video was being shown. And I mean, I was sitting beside Glover at the time, and Glover looked up at me as if to go, these guys were real, like. You know, again, where we were sitting, we were right smack in the middle of all the Devils fans. And believe you me, I made sure that they heard me for every single goal that we scored. and hence the loss of voice and the croakiness. But it is what it is. It's over and done with. I'm sure somebody will basically post it online at some point. But in the meantime, let's talk about the game.
Let's go back to the game. Davey, I think in that first 20 minutes, it was majority Cardiff Devils trying to stamp their authority early on the game, and they had that 1-0 lead going into the break.
Well, I think that it comes back to all the things that we talked about before. It is a home advantage. That's a noisy barn. And yes, they kicked. Unfortunately for Mace, he blows a tire. Mace had an absolutely great game. Unfortunately, in that instance, he blows a tire. They get away and get the early goal. And you thought, oh dear, this could be a long night here. But you know, the Giants weathered a storm, blocked a lot of shots in that first period. John Ferland led the way with Big Martinelli, just hitting everything that moved. And we, as the game went on, we forced our physicality on the game. And it was one of those games where we kind of roughed the Devils up and got in their head as much as in. We talked about the game the week before. We couldn't get inside at all. We couldn't get at bounds. We couldn't get goals. We rattled bounds on Sunday night. And, you know, the proof of the pudding is in five goals going past them. And some of them that on other nights he would have done better. You know, I think that when you have Benny going coast to coast, when you have Toey chipping in with goals, when you have big John Kurtz chipping in with goals, you've got that buy-in. And I think this is one of the games that you'll look back over the season where they've bought into the process, as it's been called, you know, all the things that we had to do, number of hits, buying into blocking shots, you know, winning face-offs. That third period, we came out and we were exceptional in the face-off circle. Like, you know, I've just closed my book and set it down on the floor, so I'm not going to go and get it. But, like, you know, we won it by 9 or 10 out of the first 11, 12 face-offs in that third period. Puck possession is key. We didn't let the Devils get back into the game in the third period. We chipped it deep. We've done all those things that we haven't been doing for a number of games. We got it in deep and we went to work. We kept the puck 200 feet away from an exceptional Jackson Whistle. When he was called upon on Sunday night, boys, there he stood up tall.
First goal that the Giants got back says that Brandon Benedict, 4 minutes into that second period, the Giants starting to get a bit of momentum behind them, pushing back the Cardiff Devils. I think that we'd had a couple of penalty kills to make as well, but Brandon Benedict picks up the puck from behind his own goal line, skates the length of the ice, finds a good bit of space and fires it past Ben Bounds.
Yeah, I mean, the shot from 50 foot, and to be honest, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't screened. Bounds has got to save that. Has to save that. It wasn't even a hard shot. I mean, Ben, I'm not having to go with Benny, but, you know, the big thing about it is he got it on target, and there was no deflection. But as I say, Bounce has got to save that. But for us to get that goal, and then, you know, just a few minutes later, you know, we hit the post. The puck breaks down the other end. Spiro takes a penalty. And I think it was for tripping or hooking along the wall. And, you know, I can't even remember what devil it was, but he went down as if he was shot. And, you know, that was a recurring thing for me at the weekend. You know, the Devils were whinging about not getting penalties. Their fans are going nuts about, you know, you talked about Martinelli, you know, laying the body, hitting everything and moving the first period. Every time he made a check, the Cardiff Devils fans were crying. You've got to give him a 2-minute penalty for being too rough. I just thought it was a wee bit embarrassing the way the couple of Devils went down. Even the penalty in the last period where Mace tried to make a diving play and Hotham took a dive over him that Greg Louganis would have been happy with. But, you know, I just thought we were absolutely outstanding. As the game went on, we got stronger. Going that one goal down after 2.5 minutes and then, you know, battling hard and going, you know, toe-to-toe with the Cardiff Devils in their own barn. And I thought we were really, really great. And you know, when we got it back to, it was 2-1 to the Devils, they got that power play goal.
Yes.
Was their second goal, wasn't it?
At least
They got their second goal. And then West pulls off 2 brilliant saves, more or less right at the halfway mark of the second period. We break up the other way. Toy, little 1-2 with Saviano. Saviano throws across the front. And Big Curtie basically ties things up. And again, Bounds didn't set the word alight for me on Sunday night. But, you know, we really, really did give it to them. We won the battles along the wall, which against the Devils this year, we've struggled because the Devils are really good, especially down low. We just played better. First period, I thought we came out of it with a lot of credit, even though we're 1-0 down. I thought we were far better in the second period, and I thought we were even better in the third.
David, talking about like the reactions about the way the game was played, you get a lot to be said about the officials, the fact that maybe certainly in the third period, the whistle was put firmly in the pocket and the guys were just allowed to play. But you could see at the end of the second period, Sean Bendifoglu gets a 2-minute roughing call. You know, the Giants had got under the skin of the Cardiff Devils through their physical play.
Absolutely, and you know, as you've said, there are three good teams on the ice on Sunday night. The officials did very well, and you know, one of those things of a final, they could have called a whole lot more, but they took the time and they let the two teams decide the outcome. They didn't want to really be, you know, involved in deciding the outcome, and you know, I talked earlier on about getting into Bounds' head and Bentifoglio getting involved at the end of that second period in the Belfast Giants. That probably actually gave us a little bit of impetus coming out in the third period, that we were starting on the power play on the fresh sheet of ice. We were able to get down low quickly. And, you know, it's the first time I've seen the Devils rattled like that in a while. And, you know, we haven't rattled them like that in their own barn, certainly this season, although we've came away with good results. They've still stuck to a very solid Andrew Lord process. And, you know, certainly in that third period, they look gassed at times. You know, the one Darcy Murphy strips, I can't remember who he strips off the puck, but it's just a tired play. And the Giants just worked so, so hard on Sunday, just kept going and kept going and kept going, and eventually they wore the Devils down.
Sorry for jumping in there, buddy. That's another mistake by Bounds on the Murphy goal. You know, Murphy's basically skipping off the wall on his own. He's not even square to Darcy's goal. Darcy just wee snapshot over the top of the pad as he went down before the shot was hit. Bounds had a mirror on Saturday night,
Bounds was rattled. It says Bounds was really rattled, and it wasn't helped by the fact that at one point Blair Riley goes in, and he runs Bounds. He gets a bit of a shove from Reddick, but I think that the direction that Riley was taking was towards Bounds. Maybe not to go into him, but certainly give him a bit of a buzz. So the Giants have got right under the skin of Bounds, who wasn't playing well, and that had a real effect on the game.
100% right. You know, I do think that that Ryan's maybe could have stuck a brakes on or got out of the way of that. But again, when you get a wee shove in the back, the referee was in absolutely perfect position and he didn't make the call. You know, but you've got to give massive credit to David Rutherford. The amount of punches in the head he's taken this year just to wind people up and get under their skin. You know, right, that the whole incident with regards to Bounds at the end of the second period started to Bounds' right in the corner. Hotham took a bit of a whack. This is after the whistle. Took a bit of a whack at Rutherford. Rutherford stand there with his big toothless grin, just chirping away at him. Everybody else tried to get involved. Riley get into back. Rutherford up, and Huffham sort of stood back because he ended up getting his bag knocked in. But skating across the ice, as soon as Rudy seen Bounds skating towards the bench, he just skated past him again, and he obviously chirped away at him. And then Ben DeVoglio got involved and had a threw a punch in again. Rudy's taking a punch for the team, and we end up coming out by a power play. But if you look at the five goals back again that Bounds conceded, I think it's his fault for four of them. I don't think he could do anything but Toey's goal. You know, it was a great slap pass in from Saviano. But the first goal, he should have done better on Benny. The second goal, you know, he's a big body. Get the pads down low. That puck went under him from John Kurtz. The third goal for Jonathan Fernand, coming out from the corner and throwing it into a space where, you know, he's 6'3" goaltender. And how that got past him, I do not know. That's absolutely his fault. And then Darcy Murphy's goal as well. Bounds had a poor game, which was great to see, because we all know that he's a good goaltender, but the Belfast Giants absolutely deserved that on Sunday night.
Davey, has a trick been missed here around the league against the Cardiff Devils? Because as the game went on, the more rattled they got, the more difficult, the more the desperate the situation got, the worse they got. In fact, you could say, like, looking at the game in that third period, Andrew Lord shortens his bench. You don't see Farina. You don't see You don't see Josh. You don't see Batch at all now these days. He gets very little ice time, which in a game like this, which is physical, which is everything's being left on the ice, he's the type of player that maybe you need out there. Farina as well is able to play that physical game and score goals and get the points, but they're left on the bench and he starts double shifts and likes of Joey Martin and these great. Don't get me wrong, great guys, but you're gassing them in the final period when you're trying to get back in a game.
I just think that when they have shortened their bench over the season, which they seem to do, you know, I think they've done that in Belfast as well, and that doubleheader, you know, because they're able to roll those four lines or 11 forwards, you know, the roll four and then the roll three, and then if they're under pressure, they go to the two lines. And, you know, the well ran dry there the other night. They haven't been put under that pressure in enough games and in major, major games this season. So, you know, it says a lot for the Belfast Giants who, you know, were fairly healthy there the other night. You look at some of the guys, I don't know what the situation with the likes of Johnner was, but, you know, doesn't Johnner, one of your premium players, sit in the game out? And, you know, the Devils do that, to be fair, Paddy. You know, they do go to two lines most games, especially games that they're maybe trailing in. But, you know, on Sunday night, as you say, they were gassed at the end, and the guys sitting on the bench there, perhaps when they needed a few energy shifts, they didn't get them.
I think it's the other way around, guys. I think we've got to give Adam Keith massive, massive credit, because he run three lines the whole night. He just kept the boys going. When we got the penalties, we ended up doing three shorthanded shifts. When we had a power play, he put his two lines out there, and again, you know, we controlled the game. We absolutely controlled that game on Sunday. And, you know, Adam, as I say, he run the three lines. Yes, he's flicking, you know, he would take Kurtzy or Toy out of the lineup and basically, well, sorry, they would chop and change, but he mostly put Saviano and Ferland out there for the extra forward. And then obviously Ashley Tape is available if needed. And I thought, you know, for a rookie coach to basically do that the way he was, and don't forget, he had Jim Vandermeer standing beside him and obviously Rob Stewart, which, need, you know, they both need a mention as well. 100%. Anybody's got and I've seen a couple of Devils fans saying that we didn't deserve that because the referees didn't make any calls. What a biggest load of piss. We were outstanding on Sunday. Absolutely outstanding.
I absolutely agree with you. Take nothing away. I thought our third period was really professional. And as we'll speak to Kiefer later on, and maybe get to ask him about it as well. You know, we took the game to the Devils in the third period. We came out ahead. But we didn't sit back. We didn't rest in our laurels. We didn't say, we'll try and see this game out. We went to them. I think we scored three goals in the third period, didn't we? Kind of an empty netter there as well. But, yep. You know, yeah. We took our opportunities. We had a lot of shots as well. It wasn't like we were, you know, just hedging. We got it in deep. We kept it away from West. We were really, really good on the night.
Any word for the Farina hit on Galakos?
As in, do you want a word from us?
Yeah, a word from you guys.
I think Farina knew exactly what he was doing. he blindsided Gooley coming in. Luckily, he wasn't hurt because Gooley was outstanding on Sunday night.
Yeah,
I thought defensively the Giants played very, very well. You know, Benny chipping in with a goal. Marty playing physical. Rayner playing physical. I thought Cole Jarrett probably has one of his best games of the season. And obviously Mace was, you know, Mace was Mace. He just makes it look effortless sometimes, blocking shots and doing exactly what he needs to do to win and help his team out. But I thought Ferreira knew exactly what he was doing there. I don't know if it was put in for a reviewable suspension. I really don't know if the boys have put that in. I doubt it.
After our cup win, I don't think we would have.
Well, I mean, The thing about it is, as I say, don't forget you've got Sheffield and Cardiff getting games against each other, and if you can weaken Cardiff, then you have a better chance of winning the conference. So for me, you know, it was a bad hit. Nobody seen it. Nobody, as in with a striped jersey on, seen it. So there was no call on the night, which means that it's not going to be automatically reviewable. So I really don't know if Thorpe or Alma put it in. But in my opinion, it's a suspensible hit.
David?
I concur. I think he just raises his arm enough as he goes through it. I'm not sure how much contact there is with the head, but he's blindsided him. Gooley doesn't see him. He sees Gooley, and he changes his route. He could probably avoid that hit completely, but he changes his route and makes sure he leaves a wee bit on Gooley there. So fortunately for us, Gooley didn't get badly hurt. And another guy who had an absolute sensation. Simon's rhymed the D-man off there. They were all, the D-core had a sensational game. And that is what we talked about, the semi-final first leg against the Panthers. We built on protecting Jackson Whistle and letting our offense take care of itself, and that's exactly what they did. And Simon has rhymed them off there. Mace, Benny, help me out here, Cole Jarrett, Kevin Rain, Martinelli and Gulak, us all had really, really good games. You can go down that roster, and there's at times through the season, you go, well, he had a bit of a stinker tonight, or he didn't show up. Everybody showed up on Sunday night. To a man, everyone in that roster showed up, and it was fantastic performance.
I don't know if you've noticed this. Obviously, you were watching the game on the webcast. I watched the whole game back last night. And after the hit on Gooley, Gooley's sitting on the bench, okay? And he was chirping away at the referee and chirping away at somebody. And Jim just put a hand on his shoulder and had a word in his ears after go, all right, big man, just calm down. Everything's going to be all right.
Yep.
And doing what Jim Vanden does. You know, it's things like that. If you don't listen, you know, Gooley's only, what, 25, 26? If he's not listening to a player of Jim Vandermeer's caliber, then he's doing something wrong. And he's obviously taking that on board. And I say, having Jim on the bench, I'd much rather have him on the ice. But having him on the bench is definitely a big plus for me.
Quick word for Ashley Tate. Obviously, he's been called on at various points through this season, and just to take a step in. And this was just another one of those cases. To have a guy, Davey, with his veteran leadership, a guy who's been a captain, a championship winning captain, an assistant coach, a guy who's schooled in the game, to have him to be able to step in and put a Giants shirt on for a final was a real positive.
Absolutely. I'm sure he was brilliant around the locker room before, during and after. I'm sure that before the game, he's been in this situation so many times, and just a calm and influence. And when he's been called on to play, as Toya said, you know, he just keeps the game simple. And, you know, I'm sure Ash has had opportunities in this last number of weeks to go to other clubs to take a contract for the remainder of the season. I'm sure his talent wouldn't go wasted anywhere else, but he's been asked to stay with the Belfast Giants, and he's done that, and he's picked himself up another championship. And I think, what, that 10 or 11 now in the Elite League era, or going back ISL days as well. So, you know, he's been a really good servant to the Giants. Nothing's too much trouble for him. Kiefer gives him the call on a weekend. He's there. He was probably the first Giant in Cardiff, to be fair, this weekend with the travel arrangements and such like. So, congratulations to him on another championship.
You make that point. I'll come to you in a second, says about Ashley Tate. Davey, but you make that point about the travel arrangements. Obviously, the guys arrived late. The guys got the rink late. It was a rushed preparation for the game. It just adds to the whole fact that the deck was stacked against us this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I think it was like 3:45, 4 o'clock before the guys... Before they landed, I think it was about 4:15 when they actually landed in Cardiff, and the game was to face off at 6 o'clock. So, you know, from that point of view, the Belfast Giants were under the pump right away. They didn't get a you don't get, it's all the little things, you know, that you don't get doing. You don't get sitting about having your coffee before you have to start getting stripped. You know, the Giants had to jump off the bus, start taping sticks, start getting into their gear and get out on the ice pronto. You know, it was just a, but then again, there's the opposite side, lad, is you don't have time to think and you just get on with things and just get it done and get going. You know, I'm sure that if they had longer to think, it might have been a bad thing too.
Says back to Ashley Tate, your thoughts?
Again, I absolutely agree with David. You know, having the capabilities of being able to call on Ashley. And again, I mean, he was due to come over. His flight was already booked to come over to Belfast on Saturday to play against Milton Keynes, which means he would have made his home debut. And obviously, with that being cancelled, he was, I'm pretty sure he was on the same flight from Birmingham that Milton Keynes were booked on to. So unable to make that journey over. I'm sure they'll probably get him over before the end of the season for a home debut.
But he deserves one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's been a class actor. I remember watching him for Nottingham and Sheffield and then obviously Coventry as well. And he's just a class act. Real, real good lad. You know, he was leading the all-time EIHL in points until probably about November, I think it was, David, when David Clark took over.
And coincidentally, Sheds has just recently overtaken him as well to go into second place.
You know, it's just absolutely phenomenal having that experience to be able to call on. And again, you know, we do, and technically we've got the oldest team in the league, but having the, you know, some young lads on the team as well. Don't forget, Jackson's still only 21, 22. You know, and the way he pulled out that, you know, a number of those saves at the weekend for the win the championship was absolutely phenomenal. He's so calm in the net. But it takes a lot of players around him with the experience of just, you know, so we tap in the pads as you're skating past the likes of Gooley or Martinelli or, you know, Cole Jarrett. Well, good save, kid, good save, and just keep going. So I think it's great to have him on board, and let's hope it's not his last championship in Belfast.
I watched the game with both of delight and with a heavy heart, because obviously I wasn't able to make the trip down to Cardiff due to family commitments. But in saying that, I've only ever missed two Challenge Cup finals that the Belfast Giants have taken part in, and they've won both of them. So yeah, you know, I don't think I'll ever attend another Challenge Cup final. But besides that, 350 odd Belfast Giants fans did make the trip to Cardiff through the hardship. They drove, they flew, they got their way through the snow, and they got there. They made themselves heard, Davy, and they went away happy.
Oh, fantastic for the fans that managed to get there. The likes of Joel, who's been, you know, we've been following on Instagram through Mexico to New Jersey to Dublin to, I think, to Belfast to Cardiff, whatever way he went, London bus. You know, he that's commitment. And for all those guys that spent a lot of money, it is not a cheap place to get to, Cardiff. It's not an easy place to get to. You know, flying into Cardiff is expensive, so you have people going through London, Luton, Bristol, Birmingham, any way to get there. And, you know, people coming down on buses from Glasgow and trains from Glasgow. Just, you know, however and whatever it took to get there, people did it. And, you know, these memories last a lifetime. And, you know, as we've been very fortunate to be involved in a lot of Belfast Giants championships over the 18 years of the club or 17 years of the club, you know, it's these things will live with you forever. So if you were there, you know, enjoy it, savour the moment.
Simon, you were there. What was it like?
It was absolutely brilliant. Just brilliant. You know, watching the guys go out there and then warm up, and you just, you know, even in the warm up, you could just see everybody was having, it was really relaxed. You know, on the bench, the boys were, you know, laughing and joking. Everything was great. Coming out for the, you know, just during the entrance video and the boys coming out of the ice as well, you could just see again, you know, a wee bit of confidence about them. I went over with Laura and Kira, and we had the Culture Crew driving behind us. We had Johnny Cook and some of the guys from the OSC behind us as well. And then had the pleasure of being with wee Blakey all weekend, and his mum and dad. And you know, just going down the, you know, we're stopping one of the services in the M4, and everybody, oh God, I'm really nervous and I'm really this. And I said, guys, I'm telling you now, we do not have to be nervous about this. Our boys are absolutely well up for this. I was lucky enough to watch the practice on Saturday morning, a pre-game skate, because we thought we were playing Milton Keynes on Saturday night. And then I went back down again at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening. when Adam put them through, did a bit of power play, a bit of shorthanded time. And again, everybody was in great form. And I just knew that watching that practice itself, just knew that everything was going to be okay. I just had a really good feeling about the whole weekend. And coming out with the trophy and just watching the way the guys celebrated. And, you know, if you look at the, we didn't get back last night, about 10 to 8, but the guys flew back from Cardiff into Belfast City Airport. And I'm led to believe there's over 300 people standing at the bloody airport for them. You know, you see the players coming out with their mobile phones. Galakos has got his mobile phone up. Benny's got his mobile phone. You know, all the boys are walking out with their gear, getting high five with loads of kids that turned up. It's things like that that, you know, if some of the players had a doubt in their mind what they're doing at the end of this season, whether it's guys maybe thinking about retiring, getting on a bit, or guys, you know, maybe using Belfast as a stepping stone to move on to somewhere else, that might make them think twice again. You know, I know the likes of, I don't want to name names, but I know the situation with contracts and stuff like that. And there's guys there that I would love to be here next year. Absolutely love to be here. And if that's made them think twice, they'll go, do you know what? There's not a better place in the elite league, especially to be with regards to the possibility of getting the fan engagement, getting the appreciation that they're showing. And as you've already pointed out, you know, we keep on saying about Joel, but Danny was there too.
Yep.
You know, Danny made the whole trip from Mexico, and she looked fresher than what Joel did in fairness. And, you know, he was, you know, up into the bar after the match. Fair play, there was loads of Cardiff Devils fans, but there was bucket loads of Belfast Giants fans. The players all come up. Spiro's chanting his, you know, they're all singing Spiro's song when he walked into the room. And he started joining in with them as well, as did Rayner. And then again, the boys really bought in. I feel that they really bought into exactly what it means to be a Belfast Giant. And the showing the appreciation, that, you know, that you've seen the smile on Ryle's face when he held that trophy aloft for the first time after being handed by the whoever it was. And then going to his teammates and then straight down the rink to the crowd. They were absolutely outstanding this weekend. And even though there was only 300 of them, the only time that the Cardiff Devils fans cheered was when they scored. They scored three goals, they got three cheers, and the rest of the time, you could not hear the Belfast Giants fans. They were absolutely outstanding. Brilliant. And it made me proud to be one of them.
Davey,
Go on, Paddy. What's the question?
No, I was going to say, there's a real, one of the things from watching the end, watching about some of the photographs as well, and listening to podcasts of other clubs that have happened this week, and hearing about, you know, the disconnect between fans and clubs. There's, at this moment in time with the Belfast Giants, there's a real connection between the fans and the club. Like, it feels like a club. You can have a team, the guys are on the ice. You can have an organisation, the guys that run it, or you can have a club, which brings in the fans and brings in everything around it. At this moment in time, we really have a club. You saw the guys when they'd won, they were right down there, but not just that, but the team photo, who's in the middle of the team photo? Young Ethan, young Blake, you know, getting involved. It's something that the Belfast Giants at the minute has a real affinity with its fans, and it was really bore out, Davey, in what you saw after the game.
Look, Paddy, this is something that has been building for really since the trust took over the club, and it probably helped that Robert is such a fan as well as the business brains behind the operation. You know, we've been more involved over the last number of years, and the OSC setup, Simon getting things like that going, and Laura very involved in the community side of things, with Gordy in the schools, all those things combined. And, you know, go back to using a quote, you know, but Kiefer gets it, and as the head coach, and Thorts gets it, and they realise that it's more than a club, you know, Barcelona saying, but it's more than a club. And, you know, for us, we're very fortunate to be so involved. And I don't mean us as an AVFTB, I mean as Belfast Giants fans, that you own a part of this. We own part of this club. This club is more than a club. You know, it's part of it's what we do every, we talk about this every day of the week. We probably talk to each other more than we talk to our families a good lot of time, you know, and it's just, we're very fortunate as a club that we have this buy-in from the organisation that they want it to be about us as well. It's not, the numbers and the boards are very important, and the numbers, you know, Steve Thornton does a very good interview during one of the period breaks, and he's very honest about, you know, how important it is to get bums on seats, and how important it is, you know, to have that match night experience. But, you know, for the people that were there on Sunday night are the ones that really, really, really matters to you. And the people that were watching at home, it really, really matters to you. And, you know, Robert's talked about the numbers of, you know, there's 1,100 season ticket holders, and out of those, there's 500 that it means it's life and death to, and there's 300 or 400 that it really matters to. And then you still need another 4,000 to fill the arena. The ones that come along, it's up to us to convert them into and make that 500 bigger. You know, we're just very, very fortunate from the point of view that the club buys into the fans as much as the fans buy into the club.
One last thing before we move on, because we're going to be chatting to Adam Keefe in just a second, but let's talk about it. 2009 was the last Challenge Cup. 2014 was the last time a trophy came in. It says, not only is this fantastic in a rookie season for a coach to pick up the first silverware that's handed out, but for the club as well, it's a relief. But Adam Keefe, what a phenomenon he's been since he's taken this coaching role.
Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's the first trophy of the year and we've won it. That's great. And Adam will basically, he'll enjoy, he'll enjoy Sunday night. He'll enjoy, well, I know he enjoyed Sunday night. I know he enjoyed last night. I'm sure he's probably recovering today. And he'll enjoy tomorrow. Boys, you know, back to work tomorrow. But, you know, once it's done, you forget about it. Take the Alex Ferguson view on it. It's done. You can't win it again in the same season. It's done. Let's concentrate on the next one. And yes, we went down the line. You know, don't forget, 3 weeks ago, we were beat by Milton Keynes in Edinburgh in the same weekend. And we went on the podcast in Issues United where we were absolutely gutted with the, you know, and we were all looking forward to this game. And sort of thinking, oh God, if we play the way we played against Milton Keynes or Edinburgh and we go into Cardiff. Yeah, we could go into this game and get absolutely humped against the Cardiff Devils. But, you know, to come out of the last couple of weekends, which haven't been great, and obviously losing that game in Cardiff last weekend and then going back in 7 days later. No games in between, which again can be difficult. Both teams were in the same situation. And I know the boys were really looking forward to the game against Milton Keynes on Saturday night. They were all up for it on Saturday morning when they got the pre-game skate and they were all really looking forward to it. But for the whole weekend, as I say, for where we are as a club, we're in a good place. Yes, it's Adam's first season. Yes. But he will not settle for this. He will want more. He's a greedy man. He wants to win championships. You know, he wants to basically lead this team forward. And it's a brilliant start for him. But as I say, the way I look at it, and yes, I'm from the outside looking in, and like yourself and Davey, Paddy, but, you know, we will savour this moment and we'll get ready for the weekend again, because there's two more trophies up for grabs between now and the end of the season.
Davey,
you know, Paddy, one of the things that really buzzed me over the last number of weeks was being at the semi-final second leg whenever, you know, we've qualified and we're down doing interviews or whatever, and Blair Riley's came out, the captain of this team, and what a game he had over the last, you know, over Sunday night. And, you know, he was really, really amped up at times, and last Sunday in Cardiff, you know, and it came through that Sheffield had lost to Cardiff, and he says, so we'll just have to go to Cardiff and beat them there. We've beat them before, we'll do it again. He was absolutely, our leaders really stepped up on Sunday night, and well, I said earlier, you know, everyone stepped up, but some of the performances by the guys you need to look to. And another thing, Paddy, see on the Twitter, seeing all the old players, the Jeremy Rebex.
Wow, it was amazing with that.
You know, Theo? Likes of Alfie, Theo, Sandy, and all going on, wishing the guys luck. You know, taking them in out of time. Guys come and play for Belfast, and it becomes part of them. We joke as fans and all, saying, you know, once you're a giant for life. But there's an element of truth in that to a lot of guys, and it gives you goosebumps thinking and reading some of those comments from the older guys.
And just to clarify, Davey, I know Mark Brooks from the organisation went on Twitter to say it was our 9th trophy, but it's actually our 14th.
It is, yeah. That's true, Paddy, because as I had a chat with Dave Scuffham on Grumpy Old Dave on Twitter the other day there, because he was saying, I suppose now for the Belfast Giants, the Challenge Cup means something, and for Cardiff Devils fans, it's just a Mickey Mouse competition. And I have said over a number of years that if there's a competition and there's a trophy, I want to win it, and I want to win the conference every year. I want to win the Challenge Cup every year. Yes, I've had my issues with the format of the Challenge Cup for many years, and I'll keep going on about that. It's the second hardest trophy to win after the league. It's got a great old history within the sport, and there's a trophy for it. Why would you not want to win it? Why would you not be proud to win it? But I go back to that crossover league that we got. You know, people can mock me if they want. It had to be won. There was a lot of games went into that to win it. You know, you had to play a lot of teams twice to win that. I'll go into dopey things like the Charity Shield we won.
Really,
had
to win.
Yeah, the holders of it. You had to win the league to get into it. Okay, maybe the NG Cup's maybe a bit of a stretch, but you know,
I'm 14 trophies,
17th season of the club with 14 trophies, we've been a successful franchise. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's funny that he's brought up Alex Ferguson's attitude. I remember reading it was about when I think they won Manchester United won the League Cup. And obviously they wanted to aspire to more, and Alex Ferguson, they took the League Cup, brought it into the lads and said, listen, you've now got a taste of success. Now we go on and we take the next step. You know, this may only be the League Cup. There's the FA Cup and there's a league, and we want to get more success, and success breeds success. I guess you see that with the Cardiff Devils. You know, they went and they won the Challenge Cup, and now they look like they're going to have back-to-back league championships.
Let me tell you something. They wanted to win that on Saturday. Make no mistake about it. You know, bringing your four owners over from Canada along with their families, and, you know, all sitting in their jar, their Devils tops right in the middle of the centre ice, and all busting, you know, having a great party and all before the game. And I know they were out on Saturday night as well. They wanted to win that trophy, and they were absolutely raging that they didn't. You know, we outplayed them. That's as simple as that. We played that well, that we deserved to win. You know, I was speaking to Todd after the game, and he said that, you know, if he's raging they didn't win it, but if anybody else could have wanted to be, obviously the Belfast Giants. And for us to pick up that, as Davey's already pointed out, you know, it's the first trophy available this season. You know, isn't it 11 games you've got to play to win it? You know, six in the group, and then you've got...
two-leg quarter-final, two-leg semi-final.
Yeah, so 11 games all together. And, you know, we get off to a bad start. We get beat by Dundee. We were beat by Edinburgh in the group stages, you know. So it's having to go out and win all those games to get to win that championship. And, you know, a lot of people probably making jokes, and as you've already pointed out, it's a Mickey Mouse Cup. Let me tell you something. It's a silver trophy that you basically can be proud of winning as a group after your career's over. And I'm sure every Belfast Giants player that played in that group on Sunday will remember those teammates for the rest of their life, because it's one of those things, you win as a team and you lose as a team. So it's just phenomenal that they get off to a great start. I'm really, really pleased for Adam and Thorts. You know, Thorts has put a lot of effort into this over the last number of years. Don't forget, behind the scenes, you know, when I say we're going to talk to Adam later, but behind the scenes of the Belfast Giants, believe it or not, Sunday, I had to push Adam onto the ice. I had to push him onto the ice at the end of the game. We're sitting on the bench. He's taking a back seat, letting the players and enjoy it. They're all waving over him to come on, and he didn't want to go on. I'm pushing him forward. Adam, get on there. You're the leader of this group. Get on. You know, and literally had to push him onto the ice to go and be recognised. And as soon as they get on the Ice Time TV, guys wanted to get a piece off him. And you know, I'm not surprised. I thought he spoke fantastically well after the game, both on BBC UTV and obviously on Ice Time TV as well. And then he... you know, we got the first one, of course. it's always good to see your leader and your coach, you know, speaking so highly about the group of players that he has. It hasn't been an easy season for us. You know, we've had a lot of suspensions. We've had a lot of missed games through injury. But the first trophy that's been available this season, and we've won it. Let's, as I say, the next 24 hours maybe, and get back to work again tomorrow. And push on for the next one.
The highlights of that game are fantastic, and from Ice Time TV, and those guys did a brilliant job. And also thanks to them, they give permission for us to use the footage for the GIFs that we put out on our Twitter account, and for the audio that you heard earlier on. But they put together a fantastic highlights package, and it was a great presentation of the game. You get them from the Ice Time TV YouTube channel. Okay, now we've talked about that. Well, let's talk to the man in charge of it all, a guy whose coaching career just started in the summer there. But since his coaching career started, he's picked up every single trophy that's been handed out so far. Congratulations, Adam Keefe.
Hi, cheers, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been a great couple of days, that's for sure.
You guys went in there, obviously pumped up. What's the last couple of days been like since you've picked up that trophy?
It's good. You know, it's just, I think everybody, I think we've been building towards this all season, especially with the road. You know, the way that we, was one of the, it was my main focus from the start of the season was trying to get these guys prepared for the big long road trip we had in November, December, and getting that mindset that we got to become road warriors and find ways to win on the road. And they've been doing that. So, you know, it was, when, I think it was when we found out it was going to be Cardiff instead of Sheffield after their wild comeback in the second leg of the aggregate. I said, "Oh, no big deal. You know, we've won there before. We got to go win another road game." So I think it was something that we wanted to make sure we stuck with that mentality.
The weekend obviously began with the game against the Milton Keynes Lightning being postponed due to the bad weather. I guess you were pleased.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I thought having a game the night before sometimes can actually help. I mean, you know, sometimes you're sitting at home all week, you know, especially because their game was canceled on a Friday. Yes, you can actually have a rust as a result of that. You know, I thought having the game on Saturday night, if we had any rust, we'd get it out on Saturday and then be hit the ground. I thought we'd have a better start on the Sunday for it. But, I mean, certainly it evened the playing field, given that from a rest standpoint and a recovery standpoint, just so happened that the weather was bad and made for a crazy weekend, I think, and with a, obviously, if you're a Belfast Giants fan or player, a great ending to the weekend.
Adam, obviously last week as well, just before the Milton Keynes game, it was a difficult week for you due to the weather conditions in Belfast and not ideal with the cancel of the training session on Friday by Dundalk Ice Bowl due to them closing. Did that hamper your preparations or was it just, right, let's just regroup and get ready to go?
Well, it hampered what we wanted to work on Friday night, that's for sure. Friday morning, yeah, we... You know, I had a practice in place that, you know, would try to gear us up towards feeling good going into Saturday. And not only that, but work on some things for Sunday and find out that the Dundalk Ice Bowl was going to be closed early on Thursday. You know, kind of really made us, I chose to look at it, to take the pauses out of it, that at least the players would be getting another rest day. And you can never... get enough rest and recovery, especially before a game that's going to take everything out of you mentally and physically, like Sunday. And, you know, so we chose to take the pauses and look at it as another rest day for the players. And they went and got a workout and made sure that they kept their bodies feeling good. So Saturday worked out that we skated Saturday morning, and then it was a pregame skate. Then the game got canceled, so... I didn't get enough out of the pregame skate, I thought. So we had the players come back and we had a practice and we had a meal together on Saturday night. So I actually ended up working out pretty good for what you want the night before a championship game. You know, the guys all ate dinner together at the rink and we had good practice and we had a good talk. And, you know, our amazing support staff, medical staff, they, you know, we had our Doc Markham and Shay, Evelina, Barb, Austin, and Robbie come in and do massages for the guys. And you know, that makes the guys feel so good about the, you know, their bodies and making everybody go into that game, feeling that you're as well recovered and as good as you can be feeling, you know, going into a game. And I thought that actually helped out, you know, maybe not playing the game, but having that evening practice and then evening meal and obviously the rest recovery physio and getting all of our bodies in check before a big game. I thought that was a great way to head into Cardiff.
Coach, you talk about all the little details are that go into the preparation of going for a championship game, but as well as just being on the road and the likes of Benny organizing, you know, the road trips, not just this season, as you talked about the the long road swing we've had. But really, since you came in under Doug Christensen, this club statistically has been exceptional on the road. You know, we've had all those hashtags, the work boots on and the road warriors. What has changed, or what is the focus for the Belfast Giants on getting the very maximum out of those road trips?
I think it's mindset. I mean, it's hockey game. You're at home. Obviously, you have the support of your hometown behind you and your home crowd, but you know, they can't play the game for you. You have to go out and you got to play the game and approach each game and each game like it's a battle. And the team that usually out-battles and plays the right way and makes the least amount of mistakes usually wins that game. And there's no reason you can't go on the road and do the same things you would do at home. There's just no reason for it. So I think it's mindset. And I think that trickles down from the leadership group, and we've always had a great leadership group here. You look back to the year that I came in with Doug Christensen, with Nick Kuiper and Jeremy Rebick, and the list goes on of guys that I could continue to go down and name, and Kevin Surratt, and the guys, just the character guys that we've had in this room, Robbie Sandrock. It's just, that's the mindset you need. You need players like that don't allow us to take a night off on the road. And if you do, you have to bounce back and you have to get back on your horse and correct that wrong.
Let's bring it into the rink on Sunday. We've got a few questions coming in from Twitter. We've got a load of questions coming in from Twitter, to be honest with you. Probably one of the biggest returns we've had. But one here from Mark Jameson at Marco General saying, during that third period where the guys were battling for each other, how much did you wish you were out there with them?
You know what? I haven't had a whole lot of time to wish I was out on the ice. I mean, obviously, I missed the game and I missed playing and I missed wearing the jersey. But if there's ever, I don't lie that I was slowing down as a player and my body was taking a beating after years of what I've done to it. And so I understand that if there was a right time to step into this position for the club and for me, it was now. And I wasn't, you know, if I'm going to do something, I need to jump into it, and I can't have one foot in, one foot out. And I just haven't had a whole lot of time to really miss playing because you're so involved in the coaching side of it. So when I'm sitting there watching our players play the way they played in the third period in a championship game on the road, you're just proud and you're just happy for them and happy for what's going to happen after that game and the memories that are going to be made and that were made. And you just soak up that moment. And to be honest with you, it is one of the reasons why I took that last time out there. I wanted them to soak this up and really take it all in with what is happening, you know, because it can fly by you quick. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've won a championship, but you don't even really know what happened because it all can get lost in the moment. So I wanted everybody to make sure that they soak that up and take it. And I think it can really propel us into being an even better team going forward.
Adam was lucky enough to be there, obviously, on Sunday, and, you know, witnessed a fantastic performance by your team. And everybody stepped up, and you were looking for a full team effort. You were looking for a full team buy-in, and you definitely 100% got that.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at, you know, I don't think anybody would have thought at least, I don't know how many it was, five of the goals came from you know, guys that are not on the board every night. And, you know, I think the guys that you would expect that are always doing goal scoring, you know, they found ways to help out and play solid defensively and chip. Like, everybody bought into the game plan. Everybody was great on the night and played for the badge. And that was the difference. And I think we needed to play that way. And I said before the game, and Carlos does those things. So if you want to beat them, you better do them too. And then obviously I thought we just so played them. You know, I thought as the game went on, we found our legs. We got out of that first period. They could have really turned the tide in the first period. I thought with a couple, you know, we were giving them too many chances, too many odd man rushes. But I still thought we were playing well. We just gave up too much. I think from the second period, Obviously, they had a couple chances to go up by a couple goals after that power play goal, and Jackson Whistle made some very timely and massive saves. And I have watched the game back already today, and you can pinpoint which saves, ultimately win us the game, because, you know, they score another one, they go up by 3-1, 4-1. All of a sudden, you know, the momentum swifts in their way in a hurry. And there's so many moments throughout that game where you can say that was a key factor in us winning. And it doesn't come down to just the goals or just the big saves. There were lots of pucks that went out at good times, and guys making big block shots and guys battling. I mean, it was great to see. It's a great teaching tool for me as a coach and for the team going forward. And I said that before, I mean, obviously we're going to enjoy this and let them enjoy it and for as long as possible here, and then we're going to refocus and go again on Saturday, and then obviously Sunday, and continue to build now for the playoffs. And obviously the conference trophy is still there. You know, we have we're tied right now with Cardiff. They have two games in hand, maybe, or a game in hand, and two games in hand, but they have to play Sheffield three times and us twice. So you just never know. I mean, you want to have big games here and build towards going into the playoffs, and we'll see what happens with the conference. Certainly we took a big step in the right direction on Sunday with turning the tide and how we play and learning to play in big games like that, and learning to play with a lead and learning to close teams out. And watching that third period was great, because you could tell how frustrated the Cardiff Devils were trying to get in and get some quality scoring chances to get back into the game.
They shortened their bench as well coming into that third period. Did you pick on just try to push them on that?
No. I mean, you know what? I didn't even notice it, to be honest. Yeah, I was very confident just rolling our lines, and whoever was going out, we were just playing. There was not, I wouldn't look, we had last change and I wasn't looking to match. You know, they roll 11 for the most part, and it's a very capable 11 that can make you pay at any time. So, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing with at that point. You know, that obviously off face-offs and stuff, you can make some adjustments, but, you know, in the course of the game, when you're just changing on the fly, our guys got to be prepared for who you're out there against. It was my mentality, and everybody stepped up to the challenge and they got the job done. And now, like we asked, they said they can walk out of their champions, and they did that.
You talk about the performance in the third period there, Coach. It was we. Some people maybe thought we would have sat back and tried to absorb, but we went on the attack too and took the game to Cardiff, got those couple of goals. And there's a question in here from Twitter, and Stevie Thompson, what was the message to the players during that second period break about playing with a lead?
Well, we wanted to control the game. You know, we didn't want to give them any real chances to gain momentum. And the ways to do that is to play in their zone, you know, play in the offensive zone, control the puck possession, control, you know, you make choices when you have the puck. You know, where is it going to go? Am I going to try and force a play here? Am I going to put this deep in behind, make Cardiff go all the way back to behind their goal line? Or am I going to turn it over at the blue line and they can quick transition? Because that's exactly what they do. They transition really fast. And when they get cycling on you and they get first to pucks, they tire you out, and then you get the puck, and then what do? You dump it in and you change. And so you have no chance to gain any momentum. And I thought that's exactly what we did to them. And it was great to see. Like I said before in the after, the post-match interviews, it was a clinical performance in the third period. And, you know, I thought, bar those two power play goals, that they obviously have a very good power play, you know, 5-on-5, I thought we were excellent.
We've got another one coming in here from Twitter, Duncan Baxter. One thing, it's something that's been floating around in social media since the game ended, and it's to do, he says, well, first of all, he says, well, as a lot of people said, thank you and the team for Sunday night, as it was brilliant, but how did you and the guys feel about Cardiff Devils intro video? Did your team speak for you? It did seem a bit arrogant from some of our point of views.
I've seen it since, but I didn't see it at the time. I, to be honest with you, I was still in the dressing room. You know, I'm not sure what I was doing in there. We were discussing something before we went out to the coaching staff, and I know that it takes a while for you know, the intro videos and all that stuff. So we're just, I didn't see the video, but I can certainly tell you a few of the players voiced their opinion on it to me. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think if they win the game, it's probably a great video for them. And because they don't win, everybody wants to say that it had a factor. It certainly would have had a factor in giving our guys a little extra adrenaline, maybe motivation, seeing our team on there from last season, and in regards to the respect. Obviously, I think that, you know, that was taken out of context with Derek. Derek, you know, does that every single game with the foot stomp, and he didn't realize, thought that the anthem was over. And, you know, but that's sport. You know, people, you want to create rivalries, and that's certainly one way to do it. So, you know, did have an impact on the game, maybe a little bit. But I mean, like I said, we didn't need any extra motivation going into that game. We knew exactly what we needed to do, and the way we wanted to approach the game, another road game, and the guys did exactly that. You know, we got there late. We had no time. We pretty much were rushed into warm-ups, and you know, maybe that not the extra time to think about it, sit and think about a championship game. We just got there. I was watching guys tape their sticks fast, do their warm-ups real quick, and get on the ice. And I think that benefits us. You know, you're not sitting in your stall thinking about what's coming and oh man, I hope I don't get scored against. I hope I don't take a penalty. I hope I don't do this. It was more just get myself ready to go, and then we go. And that's what we've been doing all year on the road. We wanted to just get there, get the job done, and get out of there. And the guys did that.
Coach, we talk at times on the podcast about teams reflecting the coach's style, and you know, we talk about Doug Christensen's team, where his team was quite defensive, and you're the coach of the highest scoring team in Giants history. Have you, you know, as a scorer through your career, have you reflected that into this team?
I don't know. I think the team you recruit is the style that you play. I mean, we did recruit a team that wants to play with passion, and we step outside the lines a lot of the times because we play with such passion, and it's been hard work trying to rein our guys in at times, for sure. I thought for the most part we did a great job on Sunday. So, you know, that passion and that passion is a big thing. You know, I watched the game back, and we talked a lot about determination and passion. And I thought the team that we recruited, you know, has that in abundance. Obviously, it's something that I pride myself on as a player as well. And I didn't have a whole lot of talent, so I needed to find other ways to contribute. And you know, if that rubs off on, you know, the way that I coach, then that's great. But you know, I think a lot of that work was done with recruitment and picking guys that we know compete extremely hard, and when push comes to shove and our backs against the wall and a championship game, you know that they're going to come out and they're going to battle and they're going to push through tough times, and it paid off for us on Sunday.
Adam, I don't think we can let you go without mentioning the fans at the weekend. You know, that arena was filled out with Cardiff Devils fans at a 9-1 ratio. You certainly didn't notice it from where I was standing. And, you know, I would say there's quite a few people getting into work today from that weekend who won't be able to talk. I know you had a bit of a croaky voice after it as well, and I've still got a bit of a croaky voice myself, but our fans were absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, they were amazing, you know, and I really was hoping that game and our flight got off the way it did, because obviously if we had missed our flight or our flight got canceled or delayed too long, you know, that game wouldn't have went ahead. And, you know, the gamble that the our fans took getting there and leaving, you know, 36 hours in advance, and said it before, is Joel Mueller end up coming from Mexico. I mean,
crazy.
It really is. It's a dedication to their team, to their city, and I'm just extremely happy that our guys showed up and did them proud, and they got to be there and be a part of it, and that the people that weren't there to watch it got to watch it on the webcast, and I watched the webcast back, and I thought it was really done really well by them, and a great watch for people at home as well in the comforts of their own home. I mean, the whole experience was great, and I thought that the Cardiff Devils organization did a great job after really allowing the Belfast Giants team to celebrate in style and celebrate, and that all comes down to memories that are made. You're in that moment. You're never going to get that moment back, and I was happy the way that it happened, and with the champagne bottles and all that, everything was given and set up perfectly by Todd. So very thankful for that, and it's the professionalism of them. I don't think they needed to give us that many or whatever, but it certainly speaks volumes of Todd and respect he has for this organization as well. So, but no, I mean, there's plenty of people to thank, and certainly the Teal Army and the support staff of the Belfast Giants is on the top of that list. And I'm actually something I didn't say in any of the interviews after was, I'm extremely happy and happy for Steve Thornton as well. I mean, he's been here for the 4-year drought and built a lot of really good hockey teams there that just fell short of trophies, and extremely happy right now that we were able to get a team that got it done, and the season's not over and there's still trophies available, so who knows where this can go. But as well, obviously, thankful for you guys. The stats that get sent to me, the videos that you guys do, the countless work you do in the media and the webcast and connecting the fans to us. And I think it's amazing that we have that on hand and that type of professionalism from you guys. And I know that I think Simon got a medal, but Brooks, he informed me we got a couple more for you guys to be handed out to you guys when you get to Belfast or whenever we can get them to you. So we wanted to let you know that as well.
Well, thank you very much. But listen, as I said to you before, it's very easy for us to do what we do when you guys are bringing in the trophies and performing like the game was on Sunday. We thank you very much for tonight. I know we've taken a bit more time than you had available, so thanks very much for your time. Obviously, one last question would be that after the celebrations are done, we've got at least two more trophies to go for here. It's straight back to work.
Yeah, I mean, I've already begun to work today, and tomorrow we're gonna have an optional skate, and then Thursday it's right back to work. And we'll skate Thursday, we'll skate Friday, we'll skate Saturday morning, and then we prepare. We had some guys that were licking some wounds after a big championship game, so I giving some guys some time to recover, and now we've got to see where we're at bodies wise going into the weekend. So yeah, it's certainly back to work now, and try to start to refocus on building towards a strong playoff run and getting back to consistently playing that way.
Thanks for your time, Coach. Congratulations.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
So let's go from the head coach to the man of the match. Matt Toe, join us on the line. How are you doing, mate?
Very well, thank you.
What a night. What a fantastic performance. And, I think I was going to say Cardiff were your first Elite League team. Sheffield was sort of, but Cardiff was the first team you probably played for in the Elite League. And there you go, into Cardiff, and you take that trophy.
Yeah. It's Cardiff really where it started for me in the Elite League. And I played there for 3 years. And to go into their place and play against a team as good as the Cardiff Devils like we did last night and to win the trophy was an amazing experience and probably the best of my career.
Toy, obviously the weekend, on Sunday, It was a brilliant game for a neutral as well. And I know there was a lot of people watching on the webcast, which was done by Icetime TV. But, you know, when you got the opportunity to get out there on a regular shift, which in fairness you haven't really been getting in the last few weeks, and then you come up with another big goal in front of the Cardiff Devils fans, you just seem to love playing there.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's been doing pretty well when we play against Cardiff. So, now it's, like you said, I've not played as much as I'd like, but it is the way it is at the minute. And when Kiefer does put me out there, I've just got to keep things simple and do the little things right. And fortunately for our line, it seemed like we could do no wrong on Sunday. And, you know, Steve Saviano, Jonathan Thurland and John Kurtz are all great players to play with, and really enjoying getting the opportunity to play with them.
Toy, happy hunting ground, as you say. Ice Arena Wales, I think 3 goals there this season now. And, you know, when you look back on a career, hopefully in many years to come, a game-winning goal in a championship, did I see you sneaking off after the final whistle to grab a puck as well? Is that something you're going to treasure looking back on the career?
I gave that to Blake Wales. So,
all right, fair game.
Yeah, I did pick it up. But and even before going into the game, you're obviously thinking about it and you hope you have premonitions of scoring or just playing well sort of thing and winning the trophy. And it just all seemed to fall into place for us on Sunday. And like you said, I'll look back on this experience and the guys that I did it with for many years to come, and it really is a highlight.
70.
Sorry, Paddy. I'm just going to follow that up. Is that something you do, Toy? Like, I know I do it at times with football, you know, visualization of positive thoughts of what's going to happen. I'm going to get myself in front of that, or I'm going to take the opportunities that come that way. Does that help boost your confidence in going into the game?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of people do it as well. And even before, when the national anthem's going on, you're thinking about what you've got to do to be successful. And it is just get the puck to the net, you know, goals win games. And fortunately, we were in the right spots at the right times Sunday there. And even the pass from Steve Saviano, I didn't have to do much. I just put my stick there, and it was incredible. But yeah, no, it does really help prepare you for a game.
Bit croaky there, mate. You all right?
A few too many shandies.
The seven days previous, you were in that very same place and it didn't go our way. In fact, it was quite a difficult game. What was the difference in those 7 days? What was the difference on Sunday compared to the week before?
It's, you know, it's a one-off game, and I know it is their home rink, and there is a little advantage, right? But it's a one-off game. You just got to go out, eat some, and do your job. And that's what we did, and that's what we emphasised in training is... we're a quick team and we needed to speed things up a little bit. And it, I think the first period they did dominate us, so we were fortunate to come out just by the one goal there. But for the second and third periods, we really turned it up and we got into the groove and didn't look back.
Doy, the last one for me is championship, Challenge Cup champion, and sharing the time with those teammates of yours in that dressing room after the game. What was the feeling like between the group?
Just amazing, really. We'd said all year that we're after trophies, and like we said, I think the league looks a little bit far away at the minute, but we put ourselves into contention playing the Cardiff Devils in the final there, and the boys were just so happy for one another. You know, we've had a tough year with injuries and suspensions and all that, but it just seemed to come right at the right time, and it was a good couple of days for sure.
And Toy, not bad for someone who retired from the game several years ago.
I said that to Mace last night and we had a laugh. But yeah, you know, I'd always said if Belfast wanted me to play, then I'd play. And I think the message kind of got mixed up a little bit that I was retiring. And then, to be honest, from Belfast's point of view, I'd been in the league below and they didn't really know if I was still able to, you know, compete at this level. But got the opportunity last year and, like I said, just having a look back and really loving it again.
We've just had your head coach, Adam Keefe, on just before you. What was his attitude? What did you take from him in those period breaks going into the game?
He was, before the game, he was getting pretty worked up. You could see how much it means to him. And like the speech before the game, he got all the bones going on between the periods. He calmed us down a little bit. And, you know, we had a great start to the third period, I believe, with the power play. So it was just a lot of tactics and what we could do a little bit better. But you know, it's I'm I'm obviously good friends with Adam, and I'm really pleased that he's been able to bring the trophy home for the fans of Belfast. That it's been long overdue.
Toby, the coach was talking there, and he says, he took his time out towards the end of the game just to talk to the lads and just say, guys, this is a championship. This game's over. You've won. Take the time to savor the moment. Let it sink in, because don't let it pass you by. It's very easy to let these big moments and you look back and go, what actually happened there? For a rookie coach and a guy who must have been involved in the emotion himself, it was a classy wee touch.
For sure. It was amazing. And, he is a first-year coach, but he's been a leader his entire career, and he's won trophies along the way. So it's good for him to do that for us. And it I know I've been reading Riles's comments. That third period just seemed to take forever. We weren't in full control. And I looked, and I think it was 12, 30 minutes ago, and it just seemed to be the longest period ever. But, it was good to be involved in, and I'm really pleased.
I was just about to ask a question about the fans, which I will in a second, but one I want to ask is Ashley Tate. He's come in to a couple of games, he's been called upon, and he's stood up for the guys. But another trophy in his cabinet. What was he like in the dressing room before the game?
He was great. Ash just comes straight in, and even from a, he doesn't get to train with us, but he's so smart, and he's been there, he's done it. We can just throw him out, and he's going to do the smart, simple plays. So he's been a great addition when we're down on buddies. And he's got that veteran experience, so he watches the game, and he'll have chats with guys on the bench and stuff and in the locker room. And he was saying to me that's his 11th trophy, I believe, so quite the career. But I've known Ash a long time too, and I'm glad that I could win a trophy with him.
And like we asked Adam Keefe, we'll ask yourself, that quite a few Belfast Giants fans travelled over. They were still heavily outnumbered, but they made themselves heard.
Oh, it was amazing. It really was. To them, you hear about some of the journeys just to get over because of the travel disruption. It really is incredible, and it shows how much it means to them. And like I've said, it is for the fans, and I can't wait to get the trophy back on the weekend for the people that weren't able to make it. And I'm sure the rest of the boys are really up for that.
Well, mate, listen, congratulations. A great game-winning goal and a well-deserved man of the match. It's back to work against the Clan and the Panthers this weekend, but time enough to savour what's a fantastic championship win.
For sure. Thank you very much.
There is another trophy to be handed out this week, and that is the Player of the Month Award sponsored by Phonacab. 604 votes this month, and it was one of the tightest races yet. So, the results are, with 21% of the vote, Jonathan Ferland. With 22% of the vote, number 22, Kevin Rain. With 25% of the vote, Spiro Galakis. But the winner and the player of the month for February, with 32% of the vote, is number 12, Steve Saviano. 4 assists in the Challenge Cup final for Steve Saviano. And he also, this weekend, will pick up his second A View from the Bridge Player of the Month award, sponsored by Phonacab. Congratulations to him. And thanks to all of you who cast your vote. Congratulations to Steve Saviano, who is the February Player of the Month. I didn't bring him up in our discussion earlier, our lengthy discussion on the Challenge Cup, for the very simple reason that I knew we'd be talking about him now. Season Saviano with 4 assists on the night, and well deserving of this February Player of the Month award.
Absolutely brilliant. Again, I voted for Furley. I thought Furley was great for February, but the fans have spoken in numbers, and they chose Steve Saviano, so congratulations to him. I think he's the second player that's the second time winner, isn't that right?
Indeed he is, after Jackson Whistle.
So great effort. Again, you've seen on Sunday night what he's capable of. The wee man's just relentless, absolutely relentless. He's 5'7", and he finishes every single check, every one of them. He blocks shots, he plays on the shorthand, he plays in the power play. He's just a top lad. You wouldn't make a nicer, if you speak to everybody in the dressing room, Steve Saviano's the man. So congratulations to him, well deserved. And there's still another trophy, another month up for grabs, so you never know, you might make a hat trick.
David.
Paddy, I often have said in the past who my favourite penalty killer of all time for the Belfast Giants was. You can remind me.
It's George Iwata.
George Watt, I thought, was fantastic on the penalty kill for the Belfast Giants. Steve Saviano, for me, is right up there with George Watt in terms of his work rate and his ethics on the penalty kill. Sensational for us. He had another good month. Some of the other guys as well. It was another one. There's been some difficult months where it's hard to nail your colours to the mast, but, you know, the people have spoken, and Sav becomes a two-time winner and very, very well deserved. Delighted for him.
Absolutely. A fantastic weekend for him, fantastic month for him. He'll hopefully receive that trophy on Saturday against the Brayhead Clan. And thanks to everybody, there's over 600 people, 700 people who cast their vote on this month's Player of the Month award. And thanks to Phonacab for their support on providing the trophy. Let's move ahead, lads, to a quick around the league because we're going to fire through. First up, I'm going to dispel a rumour. There was rumours firing around Twitter at the minute. I know that other people are talking about the return of the Newcastle Vipers. I believe this stemmed from a comment that was put on the Metro Radio Arena Wikipedia page. We've had a look into it. It seems like it's all bluff, and that they actually haven't spoken to, let's say, a member of the Elite League board. They haven't even applied to be in the league. As much as I'd like to see the Vipers back in the league, and I have a lot of friends up there who are, you know, passionate hockey fans. Unfortunately, it may be a good while before we see any Elite League hockey in the Northeast. Moving on, Milton Keynes, we just spoke about him. Obviously, Pete Russell had already said that he is moving on from the Milton Keynes, that he won't be taken over. Who is taken over is the former New Jersey Devils and Toronto Maple Leafs assistant coach, Doug McKay. He'll be taken over as general manager and head coach in 2018-19 season. It's an interesting appointment, Davey.
It's interesting in as much as this league has been very parochial for a long time. It promotes from within generally, and we spoke last week about the opportunities, especially with Nottingham, you know, Corey moving on from there, Pete Russell moving on, that there would be opportunities for maybe players that are in assistant roles at the minute to step up and take big jobs on. But, you know, they've gone and, you know, he's came in, he's in Poland the last time I think he was working. He's been had a while off, I think. But, you know, a guy with a lot of head coach experience through European leagues in Netherlands, Italy, even back on the coast as well. And, you know, Switzerland, he's been around the block. He's coming in. He's what age is of a guy, is he? Doug McKay, it's 64, so he's no...
spring chicken.
Yeah, I didn't like to say that, Paddy, but, you know, he's coming in. Let's say he's a veteran. He's coming with a lot of experience. You know, he's assistant head coach at the Leafs, at the Devils back in the day in the Big Show. So, you know, a guy with a lot of experience. It'll be interesting to see what way they recruit next season, you know, whether he'll be involved in that or whether he'll just be given the team to coach. So, big appointment.
Hey, back in the day, it's not half. It was 36 years since when he first took the job as assistant coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it's like yes, I agree. You do. The headline is that it is a former Toronto Maple Leafs and New Jersey Devils coach, but it's a long time ago. Says your thoughts.
Again, I said I thought it was strange that when the announcement was made about Pete leaving, and even I think it's even stranger, you know, announcing that there's a new coach coming in with still potentially four sticks of the season left. And, you know, if they had just waited another month and give Pete the opportunity to finish the season, you know, without any pressure to a certain extent as well. But, you know, I know he's pushing on for potentially getting out of 8th place. I think it's maybe a long shot for him the way it is now. But, again, you know, it's good to see that they're looking further afield. And, you know, Davey's touched on maybe bringing somebody in who's an assistant role, or obviously Corey's going to be looking for a job, and you never know, potentially other coaches around the league might be looking for a job due to not having good enough seasons. So it's it's a strange one, but I would say I wish him the best luck, but it'd be lying.
I'm looking at his coaching record here before we move on, and there's some belters of teams that he coached in the Netherlands. The Gunko Pandas of Rotterdam was one, but the one that really sticks out, in the year 2000-2001, he was head coach of the Al Capone Flames of Amsterdam. I've never heard of that before. The Al Capone
is that a
real Flames.
Thing?
It seems to have been the note is he did 2000-2001 in the Netherlands. So, we'll see what he brings when he comes in. It'd be like you say, Davey, the Elite League has been parochial. We, you know, other than maybe Derek Walser for ourselves, you know, it's rare that we bring, well, I suppose Paul Eddy, but he was outside of the league before. But it's very rare that we don't bring in the elite league coaches that are don't already have elite league experience. You know, Chuck Webber did all right. Paul Gardner at the Clan is the last one I can remember outside of that. Who else? What do you call your guy who's the player coach at the Steelers and won?
Oh, he went on to Cincinnati. Ben Simon.
Ben Simon.
Although he came, he was a player first of all, wasn't he?
And he was. I think he was being player coach.
Well, don't forget, we've got John Tripp.
John Tripp, of course, you will be hearing from later in the show. Well done, sis. Well done. Nice one. Well, actually, that's what we'll move on to, actually, because we'll fire through and look ahead to this weekend, because it is back to work for the Challenge Cup champions and the Belfast Giants. And the next team that come in are the Brayhead Clan, coming in Saturday at 7 p.m. And earlier on, I had that chance to talk to the head coach, John Tripp. Back to Elite League action for the Belfast Giants this weekend. And first up, it's the Brayhead Clan who come in to the SSE on Saturday. Joining me on the line is the head coach of the Brayhead Clan, John Tripp. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's been you're in a battle right now, aren't you? It's been an interesting few weeks. You got that fantastic win over the Sheffield Steelers last weekend. What are your take on how you've been? You know, this is your first year in the league, but coming into this battle, how are you set up?
Well, we've been hot and cold. Consistency has been an issue for us. The last few weeks we started off good, but then we took a bit of a dip, and you know, in this point of the year, it's something we really shouldn't have done. And if we do not make playoffs, it could have been one of the weekends that we wish we could get back. That being said, we're moving forward, and we played some good hockey against Sheffield, and preparing ourselves for a game tomorrow against Edinburgh, and then against Belfast, and then another game on Sunday.
The initiative is in your hands. You're sitting in eighth place. You have a game in hand over the Coventry Blaze, who have the same amount of points, but you've got more regulation wins. So the ball really is in your court.
Well, I wouldn't say the ball is in anyone's court. Anything can happen. I mean, you know, you know, the players they make their own destiny, and you know, it's up to them to get the job done. And you know, we just try to guide them and give them an outlay and a plan of what we want, and they just have to follow through and do it, and hopefully the pieces fall together.
What do you think? How have you found this season? You know, you say you were going hot and cold when you came into the Elite League. Obviously, coming from Germany, it was a bit fresh for you. How have you found you find your feet in the Elite League?
Well, I enjoyed it. It's good hockey here. You know, I came with a purpose to be a coach and to learn a lot, and I have learned a lot. So it's been a good step forward for myself in respects to how we've developed as a team, or how it's gone. It hasn't been the way we wanted. We did start recruitment late, and me taking the job was also later than probably what we would have liked. So there's nothing we can do about that. So we've done the best we can. And, you know, we've gone through a lot of injuries this year, but there's other teams that have as well. So we can't really, you know, sit and, you know, blame stuff like that. It just means it's an opportunity for the other players to step up. And, but all in all, if I look back, it was, it's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it's great hockey, and it was a great learning curve for myself.
You mentioned injuries there. Obviously, the news came out today about Tyler Schofield taking that upper body injury and being out for the rest of the season. You do have the option of bringing in Ryan Petulny, but the injuries are something that are just difficult.
Well, it's part of the game. There's nothing you can do. You can't, you know, see these things coming. And, I mean, Belfast had their slew of injuries as well, and look how they've done. So there's no excuses. We do have enough imports. We're playing with full imports. We have one extra. So with Tyler Schofield being out, even though it does hurt us, he brings a lot of speed and he's a good player for us. It's there's more nice time for other players, and you know, we still have a full lineup.
Like I say, you're sitting in that eighth spot. You've got this final run in. How are you guys psyched for this battle against the likes of Dundee and Coventry for that place?
Well, we're taking it game by game, and our next big opportunity is tomorrow and against Edinburgh at home. So it's, you know, it's must wins now. We have 7 games left. We need to win 5 of them, I believe, to solidify, you know, the last spot. And it's going to be tough. Dundee and Coventry play each other 2 more times still. And, you know, watching the ticker right now, and Dundee's up in Nottingham 3-1, which I don't think a lot of people would see that coming. But the game's not over. We'll find out later tonight. So it's either way, we got our work cut out for us. But I'm looking forward to it. And, I mean, life's all about challenges, and if you can't take a challenge, then you know you're in trouble.
Before I ask you about the forthcoming weekend against Belfast, I just wanted to take a wee bit of a side note. And you know, you're a former German international, and obviously we've just had the Winter Olympics take place in Pyeongchang, and Germany reaching all the way to the final and getting that silver medal, probably something that a few people expected going into the tournament, but it was a hell of a performance for them.
Oh, it was very nice, very good to see. I probably played with half those guys in the national team, and then the other guys I know just from being around the league. So I was pretty excited for them. It's nice to see it. It could be one of those once in a chance lifetimes. I mean, you know, history was made and then legends were born. So in Germany, that's a big thing for them. You know, it shows that without the NHL guys, it puts everyone on a different standard and brings the lower teams up a little higher, and it levels the field out a little bit there. So it was nice to see. And, you know, I think it was great hockey. I think without the NHL players, the Olympics can still put on a good show. But to get silver was something special. And, you know, I'm pretty proud of that.
How much of a sort of an advertisement do you think that was for the likes of the DEL and the talent that it has there?
I think for everything, for the Olympics, for Germany, for anybody that, you know, was down about NHL players not being out there. I mean, the ratings were through the roof for the final game because Germany was playing so well, and not to mention there's 80 million people in Germany. So yeah. I bet there's a major part of that coming from there. So, I think it put a lot of excitement in. As long as it's good hockey, people are happy. It's all they want to see is good hockey. Sure, it's nice to see the names. Names make the game, but those things happen, and we'll see going forward. But definitely for Germany, it was a big step for them.
What's interesting you say that. Do you think it added a new dynamic not having those NHL players? Do you think it added a positive dynamic not having the NHL stars there?
Oh, for sure. I mean, one thing about Germany, too, is that where I always said they had the advantages, a lot of those guys play together. They're all playing in the same league. The national team tends to keep a lot of the same guys through a lengthy period. So with that, it brings together a little bit more chemistry, and the guys are used to each other. They know what to expect. And, you know, where the other teams, even though you could put probably 5 or 6 Olympic gold medal teams from Canada, they don't play together. They don't play on the big ice. Not everybody knows each other. So, you know, chemistry is everything with a team. It's not just taking the names and putting them together. It's you really got a bond, and they got a really special thing. We've always had a good thing in that dressing room, and I thought that's what gave us a lot of success.
Let's bring you back to the Elite League and back to the Brayhead clan. Obviously, I said you've got this game tomorrow against the Edinburgh Capitals, and then you come over for the final time this season to the SSE Arena. What are you expecting when you come over to Belfast?
Well, I expect a hard game. They're playing a lot better pace and a higher tempo than they had when we last played there. I think it's a really nice arena, good fan base, and it was a really exciting game. So I'm expecting the same thing, especially when the points mean so much to us right now. We want to get in. If we don't come in hungry, then we have something wrong with us.
Well, that game is on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. You can get tickets or follow it on Belfast Giants TV. John, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much to John. Yes, the game's 7 p.m. on Saturday against the Clan and Sunday 4 p.m. against the Nottingham Panthers. Quick chat about those two games. Mostly, I think the Nottingham one says one of the things we're going forward for now is the Earhart Conference. We have 3 games remaining, 2 against the Cardiff Devils and 1 against the Nottingham Panthers that we play at home on Sunday. The Clan game means more to the Clan than it does to us in the grand scheme of things, I'd say, but still is a matter of momentum. But the Panthers game, if we want to be in with a chance, we need to win all 3 games against our conference rivals. And I guess we also have to hope that the Sheffield Steelers take a couple of points, or at least 1 point, off the Cardiff Devils. But this game on Sunday still means something.
It does, and again, you want to finish the season strong and go down the stretch with another 8 games or 9 games left in the league?
8 games.
You know, so you want to finish it strong, get into the playoffs, and, you know, it obviously starts with Bray out on Saturday. Nottingham, Sunday, it's not going to be easy. You know, the Panthers are chasing for more wins. And
didn't win the night.
No, I was just about to throw that in there. So, they were beat by the Dundee Stars at home tonight, so... You know, that's going to hurt them as well. So I'd like to see, I'll have a look on Twitter what the Panthers fans are thinking about that tonight, you know, probably, you know, looking to throw their season tickets away next season. So it'll be interesting to see how Sunday comes along. But again, after winning the trophy, the boys will be feeling confident, but they'll be concentrating on Saturday. Adam will get them refocused on the Wednesday or Thursday for Saturday's game, and then once Saturday's over, he takes a game at a time, he'll move on to the Nottingham Panthers. But yeah, I'd like to think the Panthers are going to be coming in here. They're not an easy team to beat. We already know that. You know, they beat us a couple of times this season. They beat us at home already this season as well. So if we play the way we can play, and I tell you what, if we play the way we play it on Sunday night, it'll be 4-point weekend.
David?
I suppose the focus is going to be on building a little bit of momentum and towards those playoffs and trying to seal this conference. You know, Sheffield and Nottingham can't win the conference. I'm not sure it's 100% mathematically possible with a whole lot of, Devils and Giants don't win another game in the conference, but they have to play each other. So that's impossible. So I think mathematically they are out of it. So it's between Belfast and Cardiff for who's going to take that top spot in the Urquhart. And, I want that. I want that as a fan. I think the club would want that to be more success this season. So the game against the Panthers this weekend is probably more critical. The Clan are still pushing to seal that. What are they? 2, 4, 6. So they're sitting 8th at the minute. You know, Coventry Blaise is still sort of on their tail, and the Dundee Stars look like they're coming strong, but maybe just too late. And the Milton Keynes look like they're out of it, let's be honest. So they're still, it's going to mean a lot to the Clan. They haven't traditionally done particularly well against us in Belfast, but they've give us the old bloody nose. So they're going to have to be treated with a lot of respect. We're coming off Sunday night's game and probably a weekend and a few days of a bit of excess, but the coaches said earlier in the show there, he's going to have skated the boys and they'll be prepared for Saturday night and ready to go. But I think Sunday is the big game. We really need to double down on Sunday and make sure we take the victory there.
Saturday 7 p.m. Brayhead Clan at the SSE, Sunday 4 p.m. Nottingham Panthers at the SSE, and if he gets his voice back, Sizz will be behind the mic for both of them. You get them on Belfast Giants TV. Who's going to be beside you, Sizz?
I don't know yet, mate. It just depends with the guys coming back to health, and it just really depends on who Adam, whether he gives them a healthy scratch or once guys doing, getting treatment before the game to try and make them prepared for the next one. So I honestly don't know who we've got at the minute.
I see Murphy's back on the ice.
That's another thing through the next few weeks, Simon. We're now in the position that we're out of the league. The games that aren't conference games, there's maybe an opportunity there to give guys that are maybe carrying a little knock or a bit of fatigue just to give them a night off, and we've got other healthy bodies to come in.
Yeah, well, I think John had a bit of a knock on Saturday. On Sunday. I'm pretty sure he still wanted to play because that's the type of guy that he is. But, he was technically a healthy scratch. I know that Chris Trules, he was planning to play on Saturday night against Milton Keynes. And I know that, as I say, he was bringing Ashley Tate in. Adam was going to run four lines on that Saturday night along with Stephen Eccles and Adam Robinson. And he'd already spoke to the boys about that. So, he had planned to give recognition to the guys that because they put all the hard work in throughout the season. So it's I do expect that, as I say, Davey, I think you're right. The big games against conference rivals, he'll be putting this probably the 10 forwards out there and he likes playing the 60, and obviously we're missing Jimbo Jimbo's looking good. He's definitely getting a lot of movement back in the lower body injury and obviously I know Mark Arshide's definitely feeling a lot better. Stephen Murphy's been on the ice the last couple of weeks, so are we going to have a full lineup to pick from come playoff time? I don't think so. I think there's still going to be one guy in that group who's not going to be able to make it. But I think everybody else is going to be ready to go and challenge it for a spot. So we'll wait and see how it pans out.
Any other business, I'm going to start by bringing it back to Sunday. And you mentioned his name there, Sizz. I just want to ask you, Chris Trull skilled the plexi?
Oh, mate, it was the funniest thing. Let's just say that he was thirsty and he knew where he could get a pint. So he run across the air. Everybody sort of, where it was himself and Taff, Neil Whiteside, Laura was there. There was a couple of other people there as well. Johnny Burnside from Giants TV as well. And he just took off, run across the ice. Where's he going? Opened the penalty box door, scaled the plexiglass. It's pretty high in Cardiff. Jumped up on the plexiglass, jumped over the other side of it, run up a step, started high-fiving everybody, made his way past them into the hospitality box that was set aside for the Giants, got himself a couple of tens of Strongbow, came back down again. But if they looked 20 feet to his left, the bloody gate was open. the Zamboni gate was open. But he decided to make a bit more entertainment for the fans, and they were all laughing their legs off. Like, he just and you want to see them scaling the fence. We all know he's got a background of the military in North America, and it definitely showed. But he was great cracking Sunday night, like, absolutely brilliant cracking.
Brilliant. Any other business from you, gents?
The only thing I'll say on a more somber note then before Sis goes, just to pass on our condolences to Robert on the sad passing of Tony Payne. And look, our thoughts are with you, big man. I know you'll probably be listening in tomorrow, and it's a hard time, but, you know, as I say, our thoughts are with you.
100%. Yeah,
well said, David. I have a couple guys. Neil Whiteside's asked me to send out a message to all the Giants fans. If they have any coverage from the weekend, if they can basically contact Belfast Giants TV, because he wants to make a compilation video of everything that happened the weekend. Obviously, he's got the two cameras over that they had with him, and they've managed to get a number of videos sent in already, you know, I think we actually tweeted, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
AVFTB. So there's still a lot of stuff there that he wants to get in. So if anybody's got any video, especially from the airport on the way in, when the guys arrive back, if you have any video, then send it to AVFTB on Twitter, or get in contact with Belfast Giants TV, and they'll give you an email address you can send it on to there. The second one is our third fan appreciation night of the year for the Official Supporters Club. This week, it's Taff Ellery. We had him on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was brilliant crack.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's, you know, it's phenomenal the amount of time that he spent in Belfast now, starting to pick up a number of phrases, and you can definitely hear his Belfast accent coming through. We're going to recognise him on Sunday. We've got a few special guests coming down. One was announced today, and Graham Walton. There's a number of other ex-players coming down with him. His dad's going to be there, which is great. We just, you know, as a group, we just want to show our appreciation that, you know, we're the hardest working man in Belfast. It's just unbelievable the workload he goes through. And we've got a couple of special messages for him as well from ex-players that he looked up to and really liked having in the room as well.
No more of a man deserves it. I think that's going to be an absolutely fabulous night for him, and I hope he enjoys it. One more thing before, it's another question to you, Sis. When can, now that the Challenge Cup's done and now we're Challenge Cup champions, when can I get my daughter's Kevin Rain shirt?
You can get that from Saturday.
Can I? Happy days. I'm sure she'll be delighted.
I'm sure she will, mate. We will get that available. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have those shirts on Saturday for collection. From the OSC table, we'll post that out later in the week. I'm pretty sure that that'll be the case, and we'll get those available, and I'll make sure yours is posted over to you, mate.
Fantastic, mate. Well, listen, it's been a while since we've been able to chat about any sort of trophy. It's been quite a few years since we've been able to chat about a trophy being lifted by the Belfast Giants, and it feels good to go through a podcast where we're able to do that. Unless you've lads have anything else to add.
Not for me, mate. I've got a really, as I say, the last couple of days has been very eventful. I'm absolutely knackered. I'm going to go to a bed early tonight. So, well, when I say early, it's 11:05.
It is.
I'm going to spend the next hour just finalising the stats from the weekend, get them sent over to Kiefer before the morning.
Well, on that note, we did put it on Twitter earlier today, asking some people to send in some audio clips as to what they thought of the weekend, and we'll play out with a few of those. And thanks to Sis and to Davey for your time.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks to Adam Keefe, to Matt Toe, to John Tripp as well. Also, thanks to the guys from Icetime TV for allowing us to use some of their audio earlier on. The two games this weekend versus Brayhead Clan Saturday at 7 p.m. and the Nottingham Panthers Sunday at 4 p.m. And of course, you can get the fantastic coverage, if you can't make it to the game, the fantastic coverage at Belfast Giants TV. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we catch you here next time. On A View from the Bridge.
absolutely phenomenal. Well worth the travel. At one point, the entire back row in our section was crying. Wouldn't change it for the world.
What a win, what a hangover, what a night out, what a team. On the playoff, good night.
Who slays Giants? Who slays Giants? Who slays Giants? Nakarev!